Wander around the separate prison as you listen to the details of this bleak building. Our commentary here is quite long, but it was the philosophy that created this type of prison that formed the foundation of our current prison system. When authorities had to admit finally that traditional physical punishments like flogging were cruel and did not stop crime, a whole new style of penology was introduced, based on a Quaker notion that bad men would embrace goodness if shown how. The separate prison was designed to create an orderly and calm space. And with the help of daily Bible readings, away from all the corrupting influences of their fellow convicts, the most serious offender would be forced to see the error of his criminal ways. Once seen, he would undergo a profound transformation, followed by repentance and heartfelt reform. Then he would be on the road to freedom. The rules of the separate prison were extremely harsh and brutally enforced. Prisoners were confined to a single cell where they worked and slept in almost complete isolation. They came out of their cell only for an hour's exercise each day and chapel on Sundays. All signs of identity were stripped from them. Each man was known only by a number and had to wear a mask when outside his cell. Dehumanization is still a feature of today's prison systems. Arguably, the most punishing aspect of the separate prison was the strongly enforced ban on every form of communication. Men were strictly forbidden to make any noise whatsoever. In addition to not being allowed to speak, there were rules against signing, singing, whistling, and dancing. They existed in complete silence and total isolation, except when communicating with staff. Even during the mandatory Sunday church service, prisoners stood alone in their partitioned cubicle, seeing nothing other than their guards and the preacher's pulpit. Knowing what we now know about the effects of prolonged enforced isolation, some men probably took the few short steps across the way to do time in the asylum. Even at the time, there was strong opposition to this kind of prison. The author Charles Dickens was a leading voice of dissent in England, and in Australia, the author Marcus Clarke called it an ingenious contrivance for making madmen, a theory backed up by Dr. John Coverdale, the final commandant at Port Arthur, when he told a select committee that isolation was decidedly injurious. Men spent months, even years, in isolation. Frederick Brocklehurst, a prisoner who spent only 28 days in solitary confinement in Pentonville, the model for Port Arthur's separate prison, describes the experience.
Imagine a blind man, denied human intercourse, whose only contact with limited outside world comes through ceiling, walls, and iron door, and you can form a faint idea of what life in a prison must be. Prisoner sees nothing beyond the limits of his cell, feels only its discomforts, tastes the prescribed prison fare, hears the limited sounds of his strange environment, and smells little beyond the scent of creosote as it exhales from the oakum.